Here it is. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And I want us to consider this motto text under three headings. Firstly, known plans. Secondly, promising plans. And thirdly, fellowship plans. Firstly then, known plans. God says, for I know the plans I have for you. All was not lost as far as God's people in exile were concerned. No, God had a plan for them. Look at verse 14. In verse 14 we see that God planned to be found by them. We see that he planned to bring them back from captivity. Indeed, he planned to gather them from all the nations and places to which they had been banished. Indeed, again in verse 14, God planned to bring them back to Judah, back to Jerusalem. God had not given up on them despite their desperate situation. No, they were his people. And he had plans for them. And as we read the book of Nehemiah and the book of Ezra, we see God's plans for them coming to fulfillment. Now, Christian friend, I want to ask you this morning, do you believe that God has a plan for your life? Just as he had a plan for these people of old. No doubt you've got plans for this day. No doubt you've got some plans in mind for this coming week. It may be that some of you are so organized that you've got the rest of the year more or less mapped out for yourselves. But I want to encourage you this morning by saying that God has got plans for you. For a believer here this morning, we can rest assured that God planned and purposed to save us. Listen to what Paul writes in Ephesians. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. God planned and purposed our salvation. Well, we can rest assured that God still has many more plans and purposes for us. But I think what I've done this morning is to fall into a little trap. It's not a major pitfall. It's just a little trap that often as believers we tend to fall into. You see, I have immediately applied the scripture to the individual. I've immediately applied the scripture in a personal way. Don't we tend to find that that is what we do when we read and study scripture? Actually, when we read the scriptures, more often than not, we find that they are to be applied to God's people as a whole. Now, I recognize all there are individuals within the whole, but the scripture is often applied to God's people as a whole. I have plans for you. Well, God's speaking to all the exiles in Babylon. And not specifically to an individual or to individuals. Well, God has a plan for his people, doesn't he? God has a plan, yes, for us as individuals, but he also has a plan for us as a church. And I hope that we believe this. Secondly, this morning, promising plans. Promising plans. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Now, there are three subheadings to this second heading. I hope that doesn't sound too confusing. Firstly, God had long-term promising plans for his people. Long-term promising plans, which they needed to take on board and live in the light of. In 70 years' time, the Lord would bring them back home to Judah, to the city of Jerusalem. They wouldn't be in Babylon forever. They wouldn't be destroyed in Babylon. No, God was going to bring them back in due time to the place that they called home. There was hope for the future. But will you notice one particular word in verse 10? Let's read verse 10 and I'll point the word out as I read it. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my what promise? My gracious promise to bring you back to this place. I think it's worth mentioning the word gracious because these people did not deserve to be brought back to Jerusalem. They had sinned against God so many times. They had broken the covenant 1,000,001 times. They deserved to remain in Babylon. But God intended to be gracious to them and to bring them back in order that they might prosper. Well, God has wonderful long-term plans for us, doesn't he, as believers? What's God's long-term promising plan for us? It's to bring us safely home, isn't it? It's to bring us safely home to the new Jerusalem. And in the new Jerusalem, well, everything's good, isn't it? We truly will be blessed there. We truly will prosper there. And I think that what we can say is that God's plans for us as his people are so much better than any plans that he might have had for his people all these years ago. If you think about it, when these people finally returned to Jerusalem, it was in ruins, wasn't it? It was basically a pile of rubble. Everything needed to be rebuilt. And the rebuilding project was pretty tough thing to embark upon. Not only did it require hard work, they met with opposition as well. But when we arrive in the New Jerusalem, well, everything will be perfect. So God had long-term plans for his people in exile. But secondly, we see that he also had short-term plans for them. Short-term promising plans. Yes, these people would have to wait 70 years before they returned to Jerusalem. And during that time, some of them would die. They wouldn't all see the promise coming to fulfillment. But they need not give up hope altogether because God still had promising plans for them just where they were. In Babylon. Look at verses 4 to 7. Verses 4 to 7 of this letter. If we look at these verses, we can see that God intended for them to settle down in Babylon, to plant gardens and to build houses, to have children and to increase in number. He intended that they seek the welfare, that is, the peace and security of the city, and pray for it. And the implication seems to be that if they do this, then God's blessing will fall upon them. Look at verse 7. Pray to the Lord for it, that is the welfare of the city, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. You see, God's grace, God's blessing wasn't just for tomorrow, it was also for today whilst they were in exile in Babylon. Now if you look at verses 8 and 9, you will see that God warns the people about false prophets. There have always been false prophets, and the false prophets at this particular time were saying, oh, the time that is spent in Babylon will be short. It'll be less than 2 years. You'll soon be back in Jerusalem. But they were prophesying lies. they were going to be in Babylon for 70 years. And whilst they were in Babylon, it was God's will that they should settle down, that they should make the most of their time there, that whilst they were there, they should seek to be the kind of people that God would have them be. Now let me say again this morning that we need to be very careful in applying the words of this text today. You see, these words were written to a particular people at a particular time in a particular context. These people were promised a return to Jerusalem. Well, we're not promised a return to an earthly Jerusalem. We need to be very careful about taking this motto text home with us today and simply assuming that we're going to prosper in everything that we're going to do this year. Dare I say it, we may be made unemployed this year or made redundant. Dare I say it, that what we plant in the garden this year may not bear any fruit. Dare I say it, we might be unwell this year. Dare I say it, the house may burn down. This verse of scripture does not promise us health and wealth. To be frank, when I read the New Testament, what I see are lots of Christians experiencing trials of many kinds, and the apostles telling the people of God that they should not be surprised by these things. But what I can say this morning is this, that just as these people were to seek the welfare of the city, we are to seek the welfare of the city. That is, we are to seek the welfare of our nation, of our village, of our workplace, of our home. We're to pray for them. We're to seek to live for God in this world, even though we don't really belong to this world, even though we might say we find ourselves in exile. Yes, God's ultimate plan is to bring us to the New Jerusalem, but he hasn't taken us there yet because he's still got a plan for us here, just where we are. It's here that he wants us to live for him. You see, these people in Babylon needed to live for God today, where it was difficult, and not just for tomorrow, where it would be easier. And so do we. And the promise of God is this, that he will give us grace in order to live for him today. That really is a promise. Third subheading is this, harmless promising plans. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. I wonder, is there anyone here this morning that thinks that God in some way is out to get you with evil intent? Friends, there's not an ounce of evil intent in God when it comes to his people. Not an ounce of it. Now it may be that someone would say to me, but I know from the scriptures that God sometimes employs his rod of chastisement. That's true. But it's not a rod of hatred. It's a rod of loving discipline. It's a rod whereby God seeks to correct and to point in the right direction. It's a rod whereby God is seeking our temporal and eternal well-being. I would actually dare to argue this morning that God even employs evil to fulfill his holy, good and righteous purposes. God employed Babylon, didn't he? In order to fulfill his good and righteous purposes where his own people of old were concerned. I mean, they weren't exactly a righteous people, were they, the Babylonians? They did terrible things to the people of God when they came to Jerusalem, but God allowed the Babylonians to do what they did to his people in order that he might humble them and graciously bring them back to himself again. Friends, I want us to know that as we embark upon this new year, that God really is on our side. That God is going to be at work for our good, our ultimate good. We believe what it says, don't we, in Romans 8 and verse 28, and we know that in all things, in the good and in the bad, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Thirdly and lastly this morning, fellowship plans. Fellowship plans. Look at verses 12 and 13. Now, strictly speaking, verses 12 and 13 are not part of the motto text, but clearly they relate to it. And I want to refer to these verses this morning because it seems to me that they highlight the way in which God really does want to prosper and bless his people. What's the way in which he wants to really prosper and bless them? Well, by bringing them into a meaningful, close relationship with himself. That's what God desires more than anything, surely, for these people. That he might be able to enjoy close fellowship with them, and they might be able to enjoy close fellowship with him. There's a couple that were driving along the road one day. It was a lovely sunny day. It was an old car, and this old car had a bench seat in the front. It wasn't like our cars today that have only two seats in the front that are separated by a handbrake. No, a big long bench seat. He was behind the wheel. She was sitting up the other end of the bench seat by the window looking out at the countryside. She said, "We don't sit as close as we used to." We should sit together, you see, curled up on the bench seat. He said, "I know, but I haven't moved." And indeed, he hadn't moved. He was still sitting behind the wheel. It was she that had moved. It was she that needed to return to the place where she used to sit. Well, God hadn't gone anywhere. It was these people that had moved. It was the people that had sinned. It was the people that had turned to idols. And what they needed to do was to return. They needed to seek God once again with all their hearts. They needed to call out to God in humble repentance. The word "then" at the beginning of verse 12 might suggest that they wouldn't do this until the 70 years were ended, though I know that the word "then" doesn't appear in all the Bible translations, and maybe that's not the best way to begin the sentence. Perhaps they wouldn't repent until the 70 years were ended. But what is clear from this text is that God wanted them to find him again. And what's clear from this text is that God was ready and willing to heal them and to forgive them and to restore them to a right relationship with him once again. You see, God had fellowship plans for these people. Do you know, I think the great desire of God this year for us is that we might walk closely with him and enjoy fellowship with him. I guess it would be so easy for us to rush off and pursue 1,001 21st century idols, but he wants us to forsake them all that we might walk well with him. If we wander away from God this year, which we all will at one point or another, let's be quick to seek him again. And of course, we don't have to play hide and seek with God. You know, if I'm playing hide and seek with a child, I might be a little bit naughty and hide somewhere that I know they'll never find. Especially if I don't want to be disturbed by them. But God doesn't hide somewhere in the universe where his people cannot find him. No, the scripture says, doesn't it, that if we seek him, we shall find him. If we wander away from God, let's be quick to seek God again. If we wander from God, which we will do, let's be quick to humbly confess our sins and be restored to a right relationship with him again. Let me say this morning that God had plans for these people. And he's got plans for us too, as individuals. And also as a church. That's exciting. Now that's encouraging. God had promising plans for these people, and he has promising plans for us. Ultimately, that means heaven. We really do have a hope and a future. But he also has plans for us in the here and now. He doesn't promise health and wealth, but he does promise to give us grace to live for him. And the knowledge that he is always at work for our good. God had fellowship plans for these people. And of course he has fellowship plans for us. Let's be encouraged, therefore, to fit into these plans and walk well with our God in 2015. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Hope you'll be encouraged to take one of these away with you. Stick it on the fridge. Stick it on the desk at work, stick it on the mantelpiece or on the notice board or wherever it is that you're likely to see it, and be encouraged by it. Be full of hope as a result of all that is said in this wonderful text.